You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Glory. Everybody got your Bibles? I hope you have your Bibles. This is where we get the seed and put the Word in. We've softened up our heart. We've worshiped God. We've tilled the ground. We're ready for the Word, the seed of God's Word, to get inside of us and change our lives. Hallelujah. Turn, if you with you will, turn with me to Matthew 10. This is actually where I left off Sunday morning. Sunday morning I taught Christianity 101, I mean, on what salvation was, just basically how to be saved, not what salvation is, but how to be saved, and how it's very simple. I think we miss the simple things in life. And simply put, salvation is believing on Jesus. That's what it is. It's taking our faith and our trust and believing on Jesus, confessing Him as Lord and as Savior. Now, I'm not just saying believe He existed, believe He's there, but actually believe on Him, trust Him with our lives, and turn our lives over to Him. You know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I believe the Amplified says, instead of the word believe, it says adhere to, rely on, trust in, cleave to, you know. And that's a little more descriptive of what takes place. I mean, a lot of people believe in a Jesus or believe He existed. You can know all there is to know about Jesus and not know Him. Right. Are you with me? The distinction is, of course, I believe. I trust in Him. I believe on Him. I receive Him, actually. And we went over that scripture in John 1:12. Gospel of John, 1st chapter, 12th verse says, "Came into his own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of flesh nor of man, but of God, even to those that believe on His name." That's what it goes on to say. So I'm born of God or born again by believing on Jesus, by receiving Jesus. 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One," that's what Christ means, "whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Hallelujah, somebody. So there's my faith in Christ, my faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. And, you know, we enter that contract or covenant or contact or connection with our confession. You know, any great thing that you ever enter into in life usually has a vow or a confession. Marriage has a vow. It's a confession. When you take an oath of office, that's what you're doing. You're making a confession. You're connecting with that office by vows you make, by confessions you make. And so the greatest, of course, marriage contract in the world is when you married yourself to Jesus, when you connected with Him, when you became one with Him. Are you with me? Paul even talks about marriage and says, you know, he likens it to being saved. He's talked about marriage in Ephesians 5, and he said, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." And he was talking about a husband and wife becoming one. I always bring that out in a marriage, that a husband and wife become one. They too shall become one. If you understand what it means to be one with Christ, when you accept Him, you became one. Now you live for Him, He lives for you. Then you get an idea of what marriage should be like. Two becoming one. Now I live for Brenda, she lives for me. I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what Paul says. Great example, you know. But it starts out with a vow or a confession or something we say to each other. And so Christianity really is the great confession in that sense, in that respect. We confess Him. Now, Matthew 10, that's where we ended up. Everybody found Matthew 10? Okay. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus speaking, "Therefore, whoever confesses Me before men, him I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven." Oh, hallelujah. That was much better than y'all shouted, but that's okay. When I confess Him before you, He confesses Me before My Father in heaven. In other words, I'm confessing Jesus. He's confessing me. I say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus says, "I am Michael's Lord." I confess Jesus. He gets up and he says, "I confess Michael." Wow. That's powerful. And that's what he's doing up there. You know, so really what matters, because what you confess to, listen to this, you're connecting with, see? You're laying claim to, as it were. You're agreeing with, assenting to, and connecting to, and laying claim to. I mean, when I confess to something, I did it. Amen. I'm agreeing. You know, I'm confessing. I'm laying hold of. I'm laying claim to. So now I lay claim to Jesus. That's all well and good. But see, the big thing is does he lay claim to me? Who does he lay claim to? Who does he confess? That's a good question. Who does Jesus confess in heaven? Well, according to Scripture, he confesses those that confess him. Wow. That's not deep. That's just real simple, isn't it? I mean, it is profound, but it's real simple. Your name is either known in heaven or it's not. It's either on the lips of Jesus or it's not. Now, whose name is on Jesus' lips? Whose ever lips have Jesus' name on theirs? I don't know if I grammatically got that out right, but anyway, that's you get the point. Whoever confesses him, he confesses. And if Jesus confesses you, you're going to make it. Let me tell you, you're going to be all right. If Jesus lays claim to you, if Jesus confesses your name before the Father, you're going to be fine. Amen. Amen? So what I need to do then is I need to confess him. Talk about him a lot. The more I talk about him, the more he talks about me. The more I represent, stand up for him, the more he stands up for me. Oh, hallelujah. See, the more I represent him, the more he represents me. This is my job, to represent Jesus. Jesus' job is to represent me. We don't think about it that way, but that's what he lives for. You say, well, I lived my whole life for Jesus. Well, Jesus lived his whole life for you. He lives his life for me. He intercedes for me. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, the Bible says. He is my lawyer or advocate, my representative in the court of heaven. He is at the right hand of God making sure that I'm represented up in heaven. Wow. You say, well, what about him? Well, that's my job. My job is to represent him down here. Now, I think he's probably doing a whole lot better job representing us than we are him. But that be the case, we need to get to representing him. The more so we do it, the more he's going to do that for us. So, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, now see here, whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So there's a connection between my confession and what Jesus confesses for me. My words and his words. He can't deny himself. Are you with me? Can't deny himself. So if I deny him, I disconnect from him. See, that's what's wrong with the world going to hell, is they don't know Jesus. They've denied it. They haven't accepted him. When you become a Christian and accept and confess and acknowledge Jesus, it is at that point he acknowledges you. See, everybody's not going to heaven. I mean, we know that. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. And so, who goes to heaven? Well, who goes to heaven are the people that Jesus lays claim to, that Jesus confesses. The ones he says, I know you or I knew you, as opposed to I never knew you. Well, who does Jesus know? Who does Jesus lay claim to? Who does Jesus confess? Real simple. It's not complicated. He confesses those that confess him. See, that's shouting ground. That ought to get you excited. Because he laid claim to me. You say, well, he laid claim to me on the cross. Well, potentially, yeah, he died for everyone to be saved. But see, only those that receive the gift, only those that choose, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He came to his own received him not. But to many as received him, to them gave he power or right or authority to become the sons or children of God, who were born not of flesh, not of man, of the will of man, but of God, even to those that believe on his name. Salvation is a God thing, not a man thing. It's what God does, not what man does. But it is what man receives or rejects. Wow. So I've got a choice in this thing, see? And really, it's not just salvation, not just eternal life. It's everything that God offers. I have a choice in. And so having said that, and understanding that, and just staying with the logic of this, real simple, if I'm going to confess Jesus to be saved and lay claim to Jesus in order to lay claim to salvation, then anything else God promises, I'm going to have to confess or lay claim to or lay hold of in order to receive it. It's there, it's potentially mine, but it's not mine until I receive it. How do I receive it? How do I connect? How do I contract with it? Well, that's what confession is all about. I mean, that's why I confess the Word. That's why I get in the Word. That's why I pray the Word. That's why I say the Word. Because that connects me. That puts me in agreement with it. See, that's what confession is, agreeing to something. You did this, you did this. I confess. I agree. Are you with me? Ooh, hallelujah. Y'all getting this? Okay, so we see here that it's imperative that we confess Jesus. Look at Romans 10:9. Here's another salvation scripture. But you realize this encompasses everything. Really, when you think about being saved, your prayer life should always go back to your salvation. It should all start there. As you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. So if I've received Him by faith, then I need to walk in Him by faith. And the Scripture is plain. We do walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Got up here on the... up on the banner. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we got saved by faith. We live for God by faith. We pray by faith. We walk by faith. Are you with me? We confess to what we're praying. How many of you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Now, how many of you are waiting to be saved, or how many of you believe you are saved? Well, I am saved. When did you lay claim to that? When you prayed. See, you lay claim to it. And from then on, from that moment on, you begin to confess you were a Christian, that Jesus is your Lord. Now, you didn't always look that way. You didn't always do everything perfect. You hadn't always done anything perfect. But you know what? You're not going by that. You're going by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You accepted Him. And you confessed Him. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. You know, but I mean, as far as feeling saved, I have an assurance, sure. But, you know, hey, anybody has doubts that come from time to time, I don't pay attention to the doubts. I crowd out the doubts. Are you with me? See, don't go there. Don't go there with the doubts. Go back to the Word. Go back to what God said. Go back to the promise. And look at it and say, well, you know, God said thus and so, and I accepted Jesus. I believed on Jesus. I am saved. I am saved. God says I'm saved. And you have His Word on it. Well, there are many promises in the Bible concerning all kinds of things. Peace, healing, deliverance, concerning your marriage, your business, whatever. It is a matter of finding out what God says and then a matter of entering into contract with it or connecting with it or laying hold on it by the words of our mouth, by what we confess. If you're going to talk negative all the time, then you're just going to connect yourself with all that all the time. This is not a human principle. This is a spiritual principle. This is not New Age or Christian Science. This is Christian sense. This is Scripture. Now, what better thing to hook up with than God's Word? What better thing to connect with or contract with or confess or agree to than God's Word? Oh, hallelujah. So Romans 10, notice this. Real familiar Scripture. In fact, this really encompasses all that we do. This encompasses the whole Christian movement, as it were, Christianity, as it were. He even junctures it with the eighth verse, Romans 10:8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, meaning word of faith, all of Christianity. The word faith is used some 30 times in the New Testament to encompass all Christianity. It talks about those who erred concerning the faith. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Be good to the household of faith. Are you with me? It's used that way some 30 times. So we know in that sense, that's not a modern day movement, word of faith movement. I believe in the word of faith. I don't believe in word of doubt. I'm a faith preacher. I'm not a doubt preacher. And you may say, well, I don't believe that faith stuff. Well, I don't know what you do when you go to church, but I think you should go to church wanting to believe what you're hearing. Now, if you don't want to believe anything you hear, then you're okay. You're not a faith person. And if you're a preacher that doesn't want anybody to believe anything you say, then you're not a faith preacher. But if you really want people to believe what you say, then obviously you believe in faith. You believe that people should believe and have faith in what you say. Okay. You're going to have to go think about it. Because I hear people say, well, I'm not a faith preacher. And I think, well, what do you preach? Well, I preach Jesus. That's what you preach, believing in Jesus? Well, of course. You don't preach doubting Jesus, do you? Well, no. I said, well, you're preaching faith then. Come on. Well, I believe this and I believe this and I preach this and I preach this. Well, do you preach that people should believe what you preach? See, it's all the faith. I don't know how, you know, now there are extremists and there's emphasis. I understand that. There's overemphasis in some areas and underemphasis in other areas. But if you want to just throw it all together, this we are believers. We're not doubters. And Christianity is the faith, not the great negative, you know. We are eternal optimists, you know. We do believe in a heaven, that there's something better than what we see here, you know. We do believe. I mean, come on, that's... And when Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said it, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? He didn't say, will He find negativity and doubt, because that's what He's looking for. No, He's looking for faith. And then, of course, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He didn't say, without negativity, without doubt and unbelief, you can't please God. He said, no, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So just wanting to please Him ought to stir us on and, you know, to believe, to encourage our faith and build our faith. So he calls it here, Paul says, the word of faith. It's the word of faith which we preach. Paul preached believing in the Bible. He preached believing in the gospel. He preached believing God. That's what he preached. And what did he preach to believe? Next verse, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There it is again. Man, I'd like to have camp meeting on that word saved, but I don't have time. That word is the Greek word sozo, which is translated saved, whole, to be made whole, also healed, and to be healed. When Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood in Mark's 5th chapter, thy faith hath made thee whole, or healed, or delivered, that same word, saved. It's not a different word, it's the same word. So the word saved really means more than just going to heaven. We equate salvation to just sins forgiven going to heaven. But salvation entails all that we are and all that we have. Salvation entails healing, miracles. The same word used here is the same word used in other instances where he's talking about healing. In fact, it's translated healed and healing. But how do you get there? How does it happen? Well, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I love that because crisis comes, situations come, and pain comes, and all kinds of things come. The question is, who's going to be Lord of your life? Who's going to you're going to bow down to? The crisis, the pain, the problem, or are you going to bow down to Jesus? If you confess Jesus as Lord, you'll be delivered and be saved. If you confess this thing as Lord, this cancer as Lord, whatever the problem may be, it could be anything. If you confess it's Lord and you bow your knee to it and you submit to it, you're subservient to it, you serve it, then obviously it's going to rule you, see? Now it comes to all. We live in a broken, fallen world. We all have challenges and we all have battles. And many people in our church right now are going through battles. I understand that. We all go through battles. But see, we're confessing Jesus is Lord, not this thing. Now when you do that, you will be saved. Don't just think from hell going to heaven. That's just part of it. I'm saved from sickness to health, poverty to wealth, depression to peace. And we're all working on it. I'm not talking about being greedy and lustful and so on and so forth. But I believe you ought to be believing God for something better and connecting with something better and heading in a better direction. Now, how do you head there? How do you connect with it? How do you, will you confess it? Oh, hallelujah. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved. Next verse is awesome. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do I get unto it? I confess unto it. If I confess Him, He confesses me. That's how I get there, see? How do I get from lost to saved? Well, I confess unto it. I confess Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. With my mouth, I say it. See, the word confess is just it comes from the Greek word. I won't Greek you out, but I'm going to give you a little Greek word here. Homologeo was the Greek word. Homologeo. The broken down, that's just homo and logos or logeo to speak. Homo is the same. It's to agree, to be with, the same. Are you with me? Homo logeo is to speak. It means to confess is to speak the same thing. It's to say the same thing. It's to agree with and say whatever you're confessing. So when I confess Jesus, I'm saying the same thing He's saying. I'm confessing Him. Now see, Jesus is Lord, but see, He's not my Lord till I confess Him. Y'all catch that? Now you're not going to change that. Jesus is Lord. And one day, you know what? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But when the battle's over, that's not the time to choose sides. You need to choose sides now. See, before the outcome. And I've chosen. I've chosen the winning team. I've chosen Jesus. And I've confessed Him as Lord. One day everybody will bow, but it'll be too late at that point. See, everybody will confess, yes, He is. But it's too late then, see. It's too late then. Now's the day of salvation. While we're in this, we got one shot at this deal, this life, and there is no other. Stay with me. There's no reincarnation. No. When you leave here, it's heaven or hell. That's it. It's the point of man wants to die, then the judgment, the Bible tells us. So what we do here is we connect, we hook up, we covenant, because that is what the word means also. In other words, if you look it up in the Greek, that word means to covenant, to agree, to speak the same thing. So I hook up with and I covenant with Jesus by my confession. Now I got a real teach on me tonight, so just stay with me. So I'm connected, I'm covenanting with Him. I'm agreeing with Him. I'm saying the same thing. Hallelujah. And in so doing, I'm confessing my way unto it. When I get to heaven, it's not going to be Jesus. Stay with me. It will be Jesus' confession of me that either causes me to stay or not stay. But Jesus' confession of me is only hinged on what I say about Him down here. And if I never confessed Him down here, He never will confess me up there. So it's always going to come back to what I say. It's always going to come back to what I've said. What I've said about my family. What I've said about my situation. What I've said about my service to God. What I've said about the church. What I've said. What I've said is going to determine my destiny. It's not going to determine God. God's going to keep doing what He's doing. You're not going to change Him. You're not going to make Him or break Him or shake Him. You know, He's going to keep going. Everything He said is going to happen just like He said. And you're not going to change one iota of the Scripture by you confessing or not confessing. Your unbelief will not make the faith of God in effect. Not going to change it. But your faith will change you. It'll connect you with something or someone. It'll connect you or covenant you with someone or something. It will connect and covenant you and hook you up with God, which you were destined to be hooked up with anyway, which is God's will from the very beginning, but we have unrealized destiny, unrealized dreams, because we will not connect, we will not confess, we will not vow, we will not agree with it, see? We won't call on, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ooh, that's powerful stuff. So that's what prayer is about. That's what me confessing Jesus is about. I mean, it's a real technical point I'm making here, and it don't get lost in the mechanics. It's a real simple thing. It's a spiritual truth, a spiritual principle. It's all throughout the Word. But when we're just taking it apart and looking at what really happens in being saved, well, that's what happens in being healed, or happens in being prospered, or having peace, or getting through a problem in your life. You initially first have to find out what God says, submit yourselves to Him and His Word, confess Him and His Lordship and His promises and His Word over it, connect to it, and lay hold on it, and in so doing, speaking the same thing, saying the same thing, you'll continue that process of God's will in your life instead of what the problem is. Now, if you want the problem to continue, just keep talking it. You're connecting with it. You're covenant with it. You're hooking up with it. You're saying the same thing as it. You're bowing to it. It's Lord. It has the final word. And nothing's going to change. Woo! Man, that's better preaching y'all already a minute. So back to what I said about Jesus. Jesus is Lord. No question about that. The question is He your Lord? How does Jesus as Lord become my Lord? I confess Him. You know Jesus is a healer? But how does He become your healer? Jesus is a peace giver. And that's you're not going to change that. Jesus is the peace giver. He's the life giver. He's the forgiver. He's the healer. He's the miracle worker. I mean, He's the meter of all of our needs, supplies all of our needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But how do I get that personal connection? How do I get that working in my life? Well, I need to confess or agree to or say the same thing as, because if any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And you in that sense and I in that sense are the second witness or the establishing witness in our lives, in my life. Think about it. A salvation is established in my life when I lay claim to it, when I confess Jesus. That's there, but it's not established in my life until I second witness it. See? If any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, is what the Bible says. Well, I'm the second witness. Woo! About to preach myself happy. That if you confess with your mouth, this is the word of faith which we preach. In fact, really, you know, he's getting the monkey off God's back and on yours, taking the ball out of God's court and in your court. In other words, it's like a game of checkers. God's already made his move. You're waiting on God. He's waiting on you. It's your move. And if you'll back up a little bit. Sixth verse, the righteousness of faith. Everybody say, of faith. Ooh, there is, that's good. Speaks in this way. Speaks. Speaks. Says something. Talks. Confesses. Speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks this way, in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Well, I wish Jesus would come down here and do something. If Jesus down here, he'd take care of this. I wish Jesus would come by my house. Now, hello, I know we've all done it, so I'm not throwing any stones here. I'm just getting us examine our approach sometimes as Christians. We're waiting on God. And see, the point is God's already done everything. We often say, well, you know, if God just had any compassion, if he just loved me. What do you mean? He loved you. He already loved you. He already came and died for your sins. I wish he'd do something about this disease, this problem. Well, he bore stripes on his body that you might be healed. What we're not seeing here is that he already moved on our need. He moved with compassion some 2,000 years ago. The question is not, does he have compassion? Y'all remember Jesus in Mark the 9th chapter where he came off the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? It was Luke 9 and then Mark 9. Yeah, Mark 9 also. He came off the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. You remember that? And he got down off the mount, and there was a man had a son that was demon-possessed. Remember that? And he prayed. He got the disciples to pray for him, and they couldn't cast the devil out. Well, they hadn't got Peter, James, and John or Jesus to pray because they were up on the mount. But they came off the mount, and he says, I got your disciples to pray. They couldn't do anything. This demon comes on my son, casts him in the fire and out of the fire. And then he said this. He said, Lord, if you could have compassion, if you just had compassion on my son, me and my son, you'd help me. Jesus rebuked that man. You ought to go back and read that. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The question is not, does God have compassion? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we often think God's uncompassionate, doesn't care. No, he already cared. He cared so much, he met the need before we ever had it. He died a long time ago, before you were ever born. He foresaw your need, your sick, your disease, your lost state, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow. What's the problem? You? Me? Come on. We're the problem, see? Now, when we get right, it gets right. Because God's not going to get right. He already is right. You're going to get God right, see? And your faith's not going to move him. It's not going to change him. Are you with me? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God, changes not. He is our salvation. He is our healing. All we do is, you know the old saying, we get under the spout where the glory comes out. The glory's coming out. It's just over there. See, you're over here. You ever seen that commercial that guy's advertising something like a time machine or something? I don't know what the advertisement is. And he comes on this beam of light, you know, and he's talking. And then he says something about the time machine. And then it comes on, but it's over there. And he's in the wrong spot. Well, I just wasted that example. You didn't get that. But anyway, I think we're just in the wrong spot most of the time. God's always on the same spot. He never changes. If you can imagine Him flowing down this aisle right here with healing, miracles, salvation, peace, joy, everything you'd ever need is flowing down this aisle. Now, how are we going to get that healing we need, that joy we need, that salvation we need? We're going to have to get out of our seat. We're going to have to get in this row right here. We're going to have to move. God doesn't move. And faith does not move God. Faith does not switch a flip a switch. Faith does not push a button. Faith doesn't pull a lever. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Faith doesn't change God. Faith changes us. Faith doesn't get God in position. Faith gets us in position. That's what it does, see? And so we're waiting many times for God. God's right where He's always been. He never changed. He never left. Okay. So, I'll finish that story. He told that man, he says, if you can believe, now he said, if you had compassion, Jesus said, if you can believe. All things are possible for him to believe. Mark 9:23. That's where that scripture is. And then the man took the rebuke. He had enough sense to realize what Jesus was saying, that he was wrong. It wasn't a matter of Jesus' compassion. It was a matter of his faith. And he fell on his knees and he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Wow. That's good, isn't it? So the if, watch that little word, if. Lord, if you can do, Lord, if. No, God wants to do it. He's willing to do it. If you can believe. All things are possible to believe. So here, notice this. Romans 10. But the righteousness, 6th verse, righteousness of faith speaks in this way or on this wise, King James Version says, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. He said, what's going on here? What he's saying is that Jesus has already done this. He already came from heaven. He already rose from the dead. It's not a matter of Him doing anything else. It's not a matter of you waiting on Him to come or sending somebody up there to get Him, bring Him down here, or getting Him to do anything else. He's already done everything. What is it? It's a matter of what you're going to do. Well, what are you saying? That's what He says. What does it say? 8th verse. The Word is near you. In East Texas, we'd say, it's up to you, Bubba. Y'all get the context of it? I mean, that's the context of what he's saying here. See, they're waiting for something, God do something. No, God already did it. You need to lay claim to it. What does it say? What is the word of faith? It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. See what he's preaching? See what he's telling us there? It's up to us to believe. It's the ball's in our court. The monkey's on our back. That's good. That's good. That's not bad. That's a good thing. Because that means now I can. You mean if I come to God, He'll hear me? Well, yes, He will. He's waiting for you to come to Him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 13th verse, same chapter here. Look at that. 13th verse. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Anybody? Anybody. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be healed. Shall be delivered. Shall be set free. Why is that? Because when you call and you confess, you connect with, you agree with, you establish that, you enter in a contract, you contract or covenant that, is what you do. In fact, 1 Timothy 6, turn to 1 Timothy 6. I preach myself happy. That's enough chew on the rest of the week, surely. 1 Timothy, right before 2 Timothy. 6th chapter, right? 5th chapter. Have a Bible like mine? It's on. What page is that? I don't know. Oh, here it is, yeah. 1606. 1 Timothy 6, notice what it says in the 12th verse. I love this. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You said this for men. Well, he's saying it before God, right? How did you lay hold on it? You laid a hold of it. You claimed it. You connected with it by confessing it. This is how we fight. Fight the good fight of faith. That's the fight we fight anyway. It's a matter of whether we're going to trust God or not trust God. That's really what it boils down to. That's the whole fight. Whether we're going to, you know, when you say, well, I believe in living holy. Well, I do too. But you know what that boils down to? You believe God knows what he's talking about. That's why you live holy. And when you're tempted to sin and you go sin and you don't live holy, you didn't trust God. It was a fight of faith. It's still a fight of faith because you didn't believe what God said. You thought that this would be okay right now, or you're smarter than he is, or I'm going to do it anyway, and you just didn't get the big revelation, the one most people don't get, which is God is smarter than you are. Once you get that one, it covers everything. See, holy living, believing God when you're praying. I mean, I'm not going to sin. Why? Because that wouldn't be faith. And I'm fighting a fight of faith here. God said don't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Nothing. God said don't do it. Yeah, but see, we did. No, you see, you can be too smart to get this. You can't be too dumb to get it, but you can be too smart to get this. All you have to do is trust God. That's what we're talking about. If he says something, believe it. Stand on it.
Amen.
Amen. Don't question it. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions or 10 great ideals. They're 10 commandments. It's never right. It's not going to be right in 1990. It's not going to be right in 2000. It's not going to be right in 2010. No date on the calendar changes God's word.
Amen.
Heaven and earth pass away. My words never pass away.
Right.
What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. We're living in an age where everything's relative and everything that used to be wrong is now right. And, you know, and there is no right. There is no wrong. There is no good guy. There is no bad guy. Just you and me. You know the old song. Anyway, no. Listen, there is evil. There is good. There's right. There's wrong. And no amount of popularity is going to change that in God's eyes. So it's a fight of faith. Do we trust God? Do we believe God? Do we believe what he said or not? Well, here's how we lay hold on it. Whatever he says is ours. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Confessing is laying hold. It's saying the same thing. It's covenanting. It's contracting with him. You know, if you stutter, you got to have big vocabulary. But anyway, it's covenanting with him. We've covenanted with him by our confession. Turn to Matthew 12. We'll bring us to a close. This helping anybody? Matthew 12. And this covers everything. This covers every part of your life, whether it's your marriage, whether you're believing for a miracle in your life, whether it's just working on the job, living holy, living right, praying, forgiving, all these things. You just got to find what the Word says, because all the promises of God are yes and amen, all of them. All of them can be agreed to, and we should agree to and confess to them. When you say amen, you agree to that. You confess to that. And in so doing, you connect to that. See? And so I got saved by confessing Jesus. That's how I got into this. That's how I connected with Christianity. I confessed it, hallelujah. Well, I connect to healing the same way. I connect to peace the same way. You got to watch what you say. You got to be cautious of what you say. Jesus made it very plain, Matthew 12. I'm going to read a few verses and then stop and comment. 33rd verse, 12:33. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. In other words, he brings out of his confession, out of his heart, by what he says, things to pass. So, you know, what's in you obviously is going to come out of you. If God's word's in you, then you're going to say it more. And then in saying it more, you're going to bring it out. And you'll bring out good things. I love that. That's a good principle. Then he says, 36th verse, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. The things we say on a regular basis is what we believe. The things that naturally come out, that naturally flow out of us, are things that are in us. Now, we can sit down and have a question and answer session and say all kinds of things. But what we talk about normally, regularly, I mean, put a tape recorder in your pocket tomorrow when you go to your job and let that thing play for 8 hours, okay? Then take it out of your pocket and play it back. That's what you believe.
Yeah.
Not in here in the church. It's easier in church to say hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Woo, shandai, utolio, ribatata. I mean, this is, you know, we're in here, we're in the fellowship of believers. I mean, it's just easier to you know, to amen, and that's good, and we should. But see, we ought to be thinking about Him all the time. I realize we have jobs to work on and things to do, and you know, but you can meditate on the Lord, and you can talk positive instead of negative, believing God instead of not trusting God. So He says, your words is what He's going to judge you by, or you're going to get account of. Everybody say words. 37th verse, I'll close with this. For by your words, you will be justified. Well, now I thought we were justified by God's word. Now stay with me. Of course, if we don't believe on Jesus, we're not going to heaven. And if we don't believe in His salvation and His righteousness, we're not going to heaven. But you see what God is saying here. Of course, if God doesn't heal, you're confessing it won't make it happen. Because all your words are doing it, you're connecting with something by your words. If it's not existing, if it's not real, if God's not a healer, confessing you're healed all day long won't get you healed. But back to my point, God is a healer. It just doesn't happen for you till you confess it. God is a Savior. Jesus has saved us, but He's not your Savior, and He doesn't save you until you confess it. So in that sense, that's what He's saying. You are justified by your words. Wow. Because you have hooked up with, you have covenanted with, you have laid hold upon, laid claim to what you have been saying. And if you never said, Jesus is my Lord, if you never confessed Him, then you never hooked up with Him. See? Or any other promise He had. Or any other thing He gave you. Or any other thing He promised. Because it's one thing for God to say it, but it doesn't happen for you till you say it. Where do you get that? Well, just read it. Didn't you read that? It says, let's read again, 37 verse. For by your words you will be justified. God's not going to be justified by your words. He's justified whether you say anything or not. You're not going to change God. God is. You know, you're not going to make God a healer just by saying He is. He is one whether you say it or not. You're not going to undo Him or disconnect His ability to heal. He's a healer. You're just going to miss out yourself, that's all. So by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. They that love shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit thereof. That's what He's talking about, fruit of your mouth. The fruit. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. The fruit, see, what comes out of the mouth. But that's why confession is so important. That's why we talk so much about it. Not mechanically. We're not talking about just head. No, it's not just head. It's heart. But you've got to get it in your heart, and you've got to get it out of your mouth. And you've got to really walk this faith walk and begin to talk. My children are going to serve the Lord all the days of their life. The Bible says He'd make a way for me and my whole household to be saved. There have been times I've been challenged in that area. But you know what? I'm not changing that confession. I'm not disconnecting with that. I'm hooking up to that. And right now, all my children are serving the Lord. And everybody they hooked up with, too. That's something we've held on to and believed and stood on and never changed. We've never changed that confession. Never changed that prayer. Never changed that about it. We didn't say our children are no good and they're going to the dogs and never going to serve God. We'll not say that. That will not come out of my mouth. My children are blessed. They're a heritage of the Lord. They're going to serve God all the days of their life.
Amen.
And my grandchildren and everybody they hook up with.
Right.
He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do. Just go. You say, well, you're crazy. Well, just leave me alone. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And all my children serving God too. So,
yeah.
Are you with me? But that's just an example of a lifelong confessing, staying connected, staying hooked up to something here. And we have challenges like that, battles in our life, and our families, and our marriage, and our business, and our bodies, and on and on and on. Your mind sometimes you feel like you're losing your mind. No. You know what the Bible says? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Right.
I remember one time, about 2 weeks, I thought I was just losing my mind. Man, it was just
I just had trouble focusing. But I was a Christian. I was a believer. I knew enough about the Word to know what to do. And for days, for 2 weeks, really, I would say, I had a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I am not losing my mind. I have a mind of Christ. Hello. You know, feel that way, and my mind's just reeling and rocking, but I just kept saying, no, I have the mind of Christ. This is some 30 years ago. Hello. I mean, mental problems, all kinds of problems. Whatever comes up, get the Word of God. Find out what God says and confess Jesus is Lord. I am what God says I am. I'm going to do what God says I can do. I have what God says I have. Amen? I'm connecting with this. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep my confession straight concerning this matter. And as you do it, it just begins to flow in you and flow in you and flow in you and flow in you. And then there's the fruit when it's all said and done. So, say the same thing. Who are you saying the same thing with? Should be Jesus and should be His Word. Amen? Find out what it says, say it, watch it come to pass.